Hey, listener, if you want to skip past my Game Master spiel and all the setup, intro, explanation, and jokes and just get right to the game, go to 2515. All right, so this is... I am so worried. I don't even... Okay, I thought he was trying to do the Star Wars theme. It wasn't clear.
Oh, I thought he was just making noises while feeding his cat.
Oh, of course you chose the external cargo pods.
He chose the external cargo pods. Let's
Dudes,
go.
This ship looks so bad. Oh, good. And you chose those turbo lasers? Bryce!
I see turbo laser. I click on turbo laser.
I can't argue with that.
I'm guessing, does it look like a broken Beyblade? That's my guess. Like that's what I'm thinking it looks like.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
a little tiny bit.
So are you gonna like screen share this thing? Or how does
it
work?
The difficulty is you guys chose a lot of parts, as I expected, that do not work together. So I need to edit them together. It's an indistinct blob of parts, and I need to edit the pieces so that they actually fit together. I need to move them around a little bit.
So they're not a flying space garbage piece?
I can either take about 5 to 10 minutes to do that right now, or... we can just have me send that, have me show you to that guy. Words! Show that to you guys later. I mean, it'd be cool if you guys could see it now. That'd be fun. So.
Sure.
We can just do that then.
Okay. Go ahead then.
Do it.
All right. I guess talk amongst yourselves. And if you say anything really funny, I'll edit it into the podcast. Because I'm recording now, and why would I stop at this point?
True.
All right, vigorously looking up dad jokes.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
All right, let's see what horrible things you people chose and how they look together. This is fun. This is an RPG podcast that is being recorded right now at this moment.
This is
going
starting off
swimmingly.
Wrong. This is what they call quality content, I've heard.
Oh, yeah. So quality.
You guys, I'm so unprepared.
Same.
I spent this entire time making your characters work, and then now my story is nothing.
Oh, no.
Oof. No, it's not... That's not true, but it's rough. And it's... there's less content the further into the story we go, which is always how it works. So I'm going to be winging it as we get towards the end. I want you all to know you have terrible aesthetic taste in YT freighter parts.
I generally don't have an opinion.
Sorry?
When it comes to aesthetics on freighters.
I mean, I haven't had much experience customizing. This is my first time. I'm sorry.
So, nah. I'm just going to leave that one.
Okay.
When I was picking the cockpit, I like symmetry. And so I'm like, hey, it would be kind of cool to have some symmetry. And so I ended up having three. And Lucas was like, maybe don't have three. And I'm like, but the aesthetic, it's symmetrical. So I have an aesthetic.
Why do we have three?
Backups.
That one,
one
didn't
of them gets
fly.
Compromised.
That one didn't fly. We did not go with the three
no.
cockpits.
No, there's only one. Don't
yes.
worry. But...
yes.
Okay.
I only allowed for one. I just said no. We're not doing this. Thankfully, what I'm doing is going to make it look less bad. The way I'm editing it together, so that you know. Is a thing.
Watch it just be worse.
You don't want to see. I'll show you guys later what it actually looks like. All the parts it shows. It's not good. Oh, good. I'm already losing all of your attentions.
I'm just reading Wikipedia. I'm researching more about my character. So.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, everyone do that. Be like Ian.
We don't want that. Don't do it.
I was about to say a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Aha.
Oof.
See, like good friends, I insult him every chance I get.
Precisely.
True. So how's this going down? Are you going to send it to the chat?
Oh, yeah. You guys will see it when we find it.
Oh. Oh, okay. So we have to wait longer.
You have to,
oh, you're making us wait, Lucas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to wait until... you have to wait to see your ship until you find your ship. Shocker, I know. All right, folks. We are ready. Or, you know, somewhat. All right, so I want you to go to that link, that other link I sent. It will probably ask you to put in a channel name and a username. For channel name, paste in what I sent. That's the channel name. And then for your username, just put your name.
Not our character name?
You could do either. I had to make it a really specific channel name because if you choose a channel name that someone else has made, you end up in their dice rolling channel. Oh. And you can see their characters and their dice rolls. That happened to me once. I was trying to get into this for a completely different campaign, and I opened it. I was like, these are not characters I know. So I just can imagine out there, there's a D&D group that opened their dice rolling app one day and saw... Lucas has been added to the channel. Lucas has left the channel.
Lucas has left the chat. Oh, I need my character sheet.
Yes, Bryce, you need your character sheets for D&D.
1 second.
Thing we spent 12 hours on.
Don't worry.
We actually need that?
It's in my D&D sheet shrine, guys. Calm down.
Anna just threw hers away when we were done with it.
Just crumbled it up. Oh yeah, I had a lovely fire with it last night.
Next to it'll in bold, it'll say no characters. You need to click the plus sign to the left of that and add your character. So your name, your max wounds, your max strain, how many credits you have, and just ignore image.
I want my Jawa picture in there though.
Bryce.
Bro.
What?
You done what? Done it, Bryce.
You just told us what your species is.
Oh, whoops.
Sometimes you're too thick for your own good.
Spent so long hiding that. And
not the good kind
just,
of thick.
You just
drop
it.
Yeah, no, the dummy thick.
You're just dumb.
You can take that out of the chat. Everyone, you know, cut the recording
just
there.
Just brainwash yourself.
It's all right. The other
you guys are all actors.
Just pretend you didn't hear.
Never heard that.
Bryce, you gonna add your character there? He didn't spell it right.
I don't remember your own character's name right.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
Should I change
Bryce, are you good, bud? Do you need to like recenter real quick?
This was it.
That's how you spell it, dude.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna remember that.
I sent it to you. We did this in person.
Can you imagine spelling your own name?
I've never done that before. How do I spell it?
just...
I'm really tired right now, and I'm gonna cry if you keep trash talking me.
No.
Wait, why am I on there? You edited me? Why did you edit me?
I added a hyphen.
Bitch, I want a hyphen.
All right, so, friends, Romans,
countrymen,
idiots.
Yes,
welcome.
I'm glad
to the
included.
Welcome to the first episode of B-Roll. This is an actual play D&D podcast using the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars role playing game system. I am obviously the host and the game master. Lucas, the Raven of Many Hats, my pretentious online persona. And I am joined today by Ian, the Blonde Bandit, Bryce, Remy, and Anna. Say hi.
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 I'm sure that's legible. they will all be the they will all be the players for this campaign. This is not what's referred to as a one shot, which is just literally a single session. This is a whole campaign, so you can expect these characters to last at least like a dozen or so stories. This is my first time recording a D&D game, and I am not nearly prepared enough, but here we go. I have game mastered a few games in this system before, and I've been in several as a player. These folks haven't played anything, so we'll be teaching them the rules on the way, and myself as well. I'm not extremely fluent, so that'll be fun. I've held them all through character creation, so we're all set with that. Originally, we were going to do like a session zero with character creation, but honest to God, it took so long with all four of them. It would have been like a 48-hour session. So besides, we had a lot of excellent discussions about character arcs and the secrets each character is harboring. And right now, no one actually knows much about each other's characters, so we'll get genuine reactions when they meet, and I think that'll be fun. This will be a story centering on fairly unimportant happenings in the Outer Rim, for the most part, following our little gang of misfits in a dinky little ship, taking the odd job here and there. Pirates, smugglers, bounty hunters, mercenaries, gangsters, ruffians, simple men and women trying to make their way in the universe. Originally, we were planning on doing a story about stormtroopers in the Empire. Stormtroopers genuinely loyal to the Empire, going about their business as stormtroopers, but I slowly realized as I was putting things together that, for one, it was not an ideal game for beginners, and for two, outside world's crazy right now. There's riots, a pandemic, and more hate for the police than we've had in a fair bit. The Empire is a fascist, sexist, xenophobic regime. And I always imagined, you know, the lack of alien stormtroopers in the original trilogy was just because of budget, so I always thought it was silly that the expanded universe made the Empire radically xenophobic, but I also thought it was silly to make them sexist because George Lucas even specifically includes in his notes that female stormtroopers are common, but regardless, the reality is that the Empire is extremely exclusionist, and not only does that severely limit the species and gender options for the players without some serious fudging, though I don't care to emulate the sexism, nor do I consider it canon, it also almost feels too real right now, and inappropriate given the current climate. It doesn't really feel right to roleplay as fascist, racist, sexist police officers in a world rioting over police brutality right now. So while in theory we could tell that story, a story of fascist, racist, sexist police officers in Star Wars as a sort of commentary on the current climate, but we thought for a first time something that heavy wouldn't be a good idea, especially so we don't have to be reminded about how shitty the world can be every time we sit down to have fun. So we opted to go for a more fun route, your classic space opera adventure about a gang of misfits. So players, I want you to keep in mind that sort of vibe. I'm personally coming off of a 6-month-long campaign I was a player in that was not very careful to be an actual like Star Wars story. The players and the Game Master were all in it just for some relaxed escapism at the end of every Monday, and with only a few exceptions, no one was particularly concerned to heavily roleplay their specific character, nor to keep things appropriate to the Star Wars universe. While that's all well and good to play the game that way, like, genuinely, it's a perfectly valid way to play. It wasn't what I was looking for, and I want to push this in a different direction, so if you wanted it to be the other way, sucks to suck. We're doing it my way. We're here in part to tell a story, and a good one at that, I hope. And I want you all to be heavily role-playing your characters, constantly considering who they are and what they do when you take actions and when you speak and the character arc you've planned for them. I mean, you're all actors. We're all actors here, so you're familiar with how to think as your character, so you'll do fine, I think. I'll help at every step of the way. Anytime you have questions, just stop the game and ask me something. I want you to keep in mind the aesthetic and vibe of Star Wars. Lots of excitement and an air of adventure and wonder and mysticism, classical themes, a sprinkle of humor, and overall wholesomeness. All of it taking inspiration from samurai films, westerns, and Flash Gordon and similar early sci-fi serials. This is from the book. That Star Wars feeling, a crucial aspect of running a Star Wars game, is making it feel like something seen on the movie or TV screen. The game and plot should be fast-paced and entertaining, have a dash of humor, and feature moments of high drama or tension. But horror is not normally a part of the core Star Wars experience. Gruesome scenes explained in graphic detail are not expected. That isn't to say that they could never be used, there are occasional graphic moments in the movies, but they should not be the norm. And I want you to keep it especially in mind the tone of the original trilogy, mainly A New Hope, our entry into the Star Wars universe and probably the most lighthearted of all the movies. The cantina scene, everything on Tatooine, that is the story's bread and butter. This is a story about characters on the fringe of the galaxy. There should be adventure and humor, but there's plenty of darkness to be found out there on the edge. This roleplay will be acting kind of as if it's an entry in the extended universe and will take a more comedic, more adventurous, and lighthearted tone, at least at first. It should feel at first like the first episodes of a fun Star Wars TV show. Antics, comedy, adventure, excitement. I say this in part because while writing this first episode, it became significantly more comedic than I expected, and comedy is also an extremely natural part of role-playing games. So just, that's fine. Just make the humor fit. So, you know, never do anything your character wouldn't do, and never do something purely as a joke. For example, in the campaign that I played in that I referred to earlier, players would often make a joke about something that their character could do that would be funny, and we'd all laugh, and then they'd actually do it. Tone and logic be damned. And I want to avoid that. So if your character would do it and it's funny, that's fine. And to be clear, I'm not putting out like an APB on jokes. I just want you to keep the out-of-character jokes separate from the game world. Humor in the game is also encouraged, but keep in mind how Star Wars does jokes. Characters act certain ways, and when their personalities clash, hilarity can ensue, often in very physical ways. The characters themselves are not joking, but we find their actions funny through the contrast of personalities. Han Solo yelling at 3PO and even shutting him off in Empire Strikes Back is funny because the lines are witty, and Han and 3PO are so different. Not because either of them are cracking jokes. They're not trying to be funny. They just do something that ends up being funny to us through contrast. Last but not least, avoid anachronisms. This is when elements from our world or other worlds that do not fit in, belong in, or match the aesthetic and tone of Star Wars suddenly get injected into it. For example, having your character call something badass or big ass, or in general, using ass as a suffix at all. Stuff like that and other types of slang is very jarring and just is not appropriate for the universe. It's not something that exists in Star Wars. Obviously, Han does say, "See you in hell" in Star Wars, but that just implies the existence of a religion that has a hell, which is pretty common for basically every religion on Earth. So, but, you know, no one says, "What the hell?" or "Oh my God." Those don't exist in Star Wars as phrases, so don't use them for your character. And obviously also avoid R-rated language in the actual game. If you want to say it out of character, I don't mind, but don't say fuck when you're trying to barter for a better price. And don't take it too far. Like, don't you know, go too hard at trying to follow what I'm saying. You don't have to come up with completely new idioms all the time. Butter and knives both exist in Star Wars, for example, so you don't have to say, like a lightsaber through bantha butter. You could just say, like a hot knife through butter. If the elements exist in Star Wars, the idiom is fine. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, probably even works. Just be thoughtful, remember the universe, and at all times try to emulate the way Star Wars feels. Make jokes, tell a good story, roleplay your character well, consider the universe, invoke that Star Wars feel, and have fun. Now, as for the actual way the game is played, in general, it goes like this. I am the game master, and I create the general outline for the story and every single character and enemy you will meet. I make the options, the branching paths of the story you can follow. I write the choose your own adventure novel and you decide which page we turn to. Sometimes you'll choose to go a direction I didn't plan for, and I might warn you, I am completely unprepared for that path, but we'll follow that and just wing it. You can do anything within reason. Where, you know, video games are ultimately quite finite, this is much less so. Anything you have the ability and reason to do, you can. Which sounds like a murder investigation, means, motive, and opportunity, but if you have means, motive, and opportunity, you can do it. I lay out a scenario, you interact with it, decide the outcome, and where the story goes from there. I'll make some options clear, others I won't. Do what you want, as long as your character would want to, and find clever ways to solve conflict. Not everything needs to end in a blaster fight. In fact, most things should end without combat. That's the most fun way to do it, generally, with only sprinkles of combat. When you talk to people in-game, you might mention who you're about to talk to out of character, and then you'll talk to them in character. And anytime you try to do something that takes any amount of skill, which might be talking to someone, specifically charming them or lying to them, not just the act of talking, that doesn't take skill in the game. I'll probably ask you to make a skill check. You'll assemble a dice pool based on your ranks in the skill and the corresponding characteristics, and then you'll do the roll, which will determine the outcome of your action. Success, failure, shades in between. If you can think of any reason this action should be easier for you before the roll, convince me, and we'll add a boost to your roll. Try to squeeze out of me as many of those boost dice as you can. I'll certainly be throwing as many setback dice as I can at you. Not to be mean, but to fully utilize the game system. There are a lot of talents that involve removing game master given setback dice from your skill checks, and I want to utilize the game to its fullest extent. Try to make as many facets of it useful as possible. And while I'm not a mean game master when it comes to rules, no narrative is fun when it's easy for the main characters. But ultimately, we're in this together. I want to make it as fun as possible for you. You should make it as fun as possible for me. Anytime there's a question about a rule, we might look it up for a minute. If we don't understand it, we'll just house rule it and move on, and I'll try to make a note to understand the rule between sessions. Speaking of house rules, I have just a couple set up already. For example, encumbrance. Essentially, fuck encumbrance. It's a system for tracking how much your character is holding and the weight of all those items and how much weight you can carry. It's kind of a weak system and is ultimately not fun to have to track all of that. The house ruled replacement for it is just if you can make a convincing argument that your character can carry it, you can carry it. Additionally, fall damage. It's brutal in this game. A short range drop, which is a drop of a couple meters, is 10 damage, which is a lot. In general, I'm having the effects of all fall damage. As we play, I imagine a couple more house rules will crop up either to fill the gaps in between rules or replace rules that just don't fit our playstyles. I'm still learning. You're all still learning. We'll all make mistakes, and that's fine. We'll figure it out together. At the end of the day, the rules are actually kind of easy. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. They're written obtusely. Like, it's hard for me to think of worse ways to describe the rules than the book does, but they are simple once you get the hang of them. At least, that's what I tell myself so I can sleep at night and not get terrified of the complexity of the game I'm supposed to be an expert at and teach others to play. All while being recorded for whole ones of people to hear. Fun.
And come on, man. It's not
the ones of people. The problem is, it's not just like ones of strangers that'll be saying like, oh, you suck in YouTube comments. It's ones of people that I personally know and will just silently judge me. It's silent judgment, the silent killer, you know? And one final note. This will all be set squarely in George Lucas's canon, the original expanded universe featuring the 6 movies, the Clone Wars show, and 40 years of material from various authors and various mediums. Not one scrap of Disney canon will be making it into this. So, unless there's any more to say, speak now or forever hold your peace.
I think you covered everything.
Yeah, I know. I talk forever. And without further ado, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, It is a period of civil war. The galaxy is in turmoil, and the Empire is reeling after a disastrous defeat at Yavin 4, which saw the end to its fearful Death Star. Rebellion is brewing, unrest stirring, but the galaxy spins on, and in the Outer Rim, lawlessness reigns. Glimmering seductively in the midst of Hud space, the tidally locked moon of Nal Hutta was Nar Shaddaa, the smuggler's moon. Little Coruscant. Whatever natural beauty once dominated the moon's surface had long been strangled and concealed by eons of a growing Ecumenopolis, a world city. Even the beauty of the first cities on the moon had been concealed by newer iterations built over it. Still, there was an altogether new and strange beauty all to itself in the bustling streets and busy sky lanes of the vertical cities. It is a sparkling, neon haven for criminal elements from all across the galaxy. Spice trading in the grimy alleys and undercities, gambling in the tall casinos and high-rises, bounty hunting and smuggling in every loading dock, bar, and street corner. A cesspit for all things illegal, and all under the watchful eyes of the Hutts. And, in recent times, a selection of strange characters from around the galaxy had arrived on Nar Shaddaa. Pursuit of employment, refuge, illicit items, a good time, different wants and needs had driven these strangers to the smuggler's moon, but the same need brought them off it. The need to run. Cargo freighters, luxury cruise liners, and simple transport shuttles came and went by the dozen every day, but as the Force would have it, these many strangers, no two alike, wound up on the same ship heading off-world, their fates strangely bound. Of course, they had to finish up their business on Nar Shaddaa first. Ian, we begin with you.
Great. What do I do?
What?
All right, now what?
What a start! What do I do?
Okay. So, I'll introduce my character. I am Nasi Pikpik, a Gungan from Oma Dun, one of the moons of Naboo. I am here on this planet trying to start anew.
I think that's good. Don't reveal too much. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. What are you doing on Nar Shaddaa? What is the business you have to finish up before you get off?
I just had a meeting with the Hutts. Should I say what for?
I think we can reveal that later if you want.
Right now, I'm going to be meeting my milliflower dealer. Just context, milliflower is Star Wars weed. So I will be contacting my milliflower dealer to get some more milliflower before I go off world. I am a drug dealer trying to aspire to be something much more, but I need my own fix for now.
All right. So where is your dealer? Is he just hanging out in a little alley somewhere? Or does he operation in like at a loading dock or something?
Yeah, my guy, he works out of a loading dock.
All right. So as you enter this area, I think you spot him, and I assume you go up to him, yeah?
Of course, yes.
He doesn't seem to notice you immediately. He's kind of tied up in his work.
I haven't named him yet.
Don't worry about it. His name is... Gud.
Okay.
His name is Gud.
Sounds good. I would buy weed from a Gud.
You guys are allowed to unmute yourselves if you want to laugh, by the way.
Yeah, please.
Otherwise, it's weird.
Because this is
be called Gud because you got that good.
Good.
Stuff. I thought you said God at first.
I've got that Gud stuff, you know? All right.
I was hoping you'd let us unmute. Well, not let us, not like you're forcing us to be on mute.
Mute yourselves!
Oh, okay.
You can take off the gag now.
Yeah, mainly just mute yourself to minimize the noise. But yeah, if you want to laugh, Absolutely. Unmute yourself. If you have any comments, just unmute yourself. You can even keep it unmuted for like a minute afterwards in case you want to think you might talk again. Just mainly like for that long monologue I just had. That was good so that it's not like a bunch of noise and me talking.
Chip bags crumbling.
Exactly.
Dang it, I didn't grab one. I just threw that.
Just open it next to the mic as I'm talking.
We just open my can.
I can slurp something. All right, anyway. No more audio messing around.
Great sound
design.
Really.
I go up to... Oh, fantastic sound design. So I want to, let's see. What is he doing? Is he like loading crates, smoking? What's he up to?
He looks, make a perception check. First check of the game, everybody. A perception check.
Hey!
So for this, you're going to want to, so every point in cunning you have is going to be a green die, but every... Oh, God, I just noticed the chat and the dice roller. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
oh, been, boy.
Been blowing
there's,
up.
There's just junk in there.
Yeah.
So, for every point in cunning you have, it's a green die. But for every rank in perception that you have that is matched by a point in that characteristic, it becomes a yellow die. So what is your cunning?
My cunning? I have two cunning.
Okay, and what's your perception?
Nothing. Like, I have no rank.
Okay, so that will just be two green die.
Okay.
Dice. Every time I want to say plural dice, I say die, but it's actually that singular, and dice is plural. I hate that.
And so I just like click the two green diamonds.
So this will be an average perception check. So two green diamonds and two purple diamonds.
Okay.
And then you click roll. You got three success. Damn. Good first roll. Congrats, everybody. We won.
Good omen for the whole podcast.
All right.
John, this one moment.
Yeah, what is this dude doing?
Smooth sailing from here.
Thank goodness, Ian.
All
I'm
right.
Pretty sure it's going to be pretty good.
So you notice that Gud is... he seems like he has a lot on his mind. He seems really distracted. He looks like he's trying to look busy, but he's clearly scanning around the loading bay for something.
Do I notice anything out of the norm? Like that? Do I notice something that could be the thing he's scanning for?
No,
seems pretty normal.
Yeah. It's just, he just seems distracted and like he's looking for something. And as you get closer, he actually sees you and perks up.
Gotcha. I approach Gud.
Oh, we're going to hear his Gungan accent, everybody.
Yeah, dude. I think it's going to be pretty normal, but we'll try. Good. I have some business for you.
Everyone's got business for me. Who are you?
Don't you remember me? Don't you remember me, sir? I'm, Pick-Pick.
Oh, yes, of course. Pick-Pick.
Yeah, me sir heading off world and need a fix.
I can't. I'm sorry. It's creeping me up. All right.
How much you want?
How much you got?
Was that Kiwi?
Don't worry about it, dude. I'm figuring this shit out, too.
Just said, how much you got?
How much you got?
I mean, what does it look like?
And he just kind of gestures to the loading bay.
I'll tell you what I got. I've got enough... Jeebus, okay. Man, doing voices is harder than I remember.
You do not have to do an accent. Like I've said before, you can straight up just do your voice and throw in a Misa or Wisa every now and then.
Alright, we'll go with that. I need some for myself and a friend, we'll say.
A friend.
I haven't met him yet, but we'll be friends after he pays me.
Can I meet this friend?
I told you I hadn't met him yet.
Did I miss that?
I guess.
Pretend I didn't say that.
Okay. I was implying that I am going to sell it, but without saying that.
I don't think he caught that.
Oh. Stupid. Okay.
He's acting very weird. You know, okay. Like he didn't even recognize you.
All right. Good. What's going on?
Nothing. You want Milliflower? Let's give you some Milliflower.
And he grabs some packs of fine grade Milliflower.
Oh.
Like probably 1 ounce.
I can afford 2. We talked about this. But yes. Like I've got 500 credits on me now. How much can I get for that?
That'll be about 1 dose.
1? 2 street value.
Fine. 2.
He gives
all right.
I give him credit. You see that the way he's looking at you is very weird. Like he's trying to figure something about you out, or like almost like he's like trying to stare into your soul. It's bizarre.
Okay. That's weird. Dude, I'm just trying to imagine looking into the eyes of a Gungan. I'd have to go cross-eyed for that.
he takes the credits and he's still looking at you and he gives you the Milliflower, but your business is concluded.
Okay. I take we do the transaction. I pay him 500 credits. And then I
make sure to mark that on your sheet.
I know, I'm doing it right now. as I kind of receive my goods and hand them off, I look around, like behind me.
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay.
Nothing at all.
Are you sure everything's okay? You're acting kind of strange.
He's gone.
Okay. I want to check the merch.
It's fine. It looks complete. You should have made a perception check, but who cares? It's fine. It looks completely normal. And as you look back up, God walks through the door. God walks out from, you know, like behind a pair of crates, and he's just like directing some people to loading some crates. He just looks like he just walked off. Your business was complete, so he walked off.
He's a normal like human. He's human, right?
He's human.
Okay. Well, I want to get off world now, so I'm going to...
All right. Your business is concluded.
Maybe light... Actually, you know what? I want to light up.
You're going to use one of your doses right now. All right. You pull out your hookah.
No. I'm just going to hit... I'm going to use one. I'm going to use one now, and then... No, I want to go. I want to go somewhere. I don't want to just do this in the middle of a cargo bay. This stuff ain't... Actually, it is legal here, but...
Yeah.
Get me... I'm going to go to a bar.
All right. You go to a bar. And you... I assume you pull out your hookah pipe and you start smoking one of your doses.
Yep.
All right. And when you are done...
Heck yeah.
You go see the ticket master and you purchase your ticket on this ship going off world.
How much is the ticket?
Forget about it.
I didn't check to see if I had enough. I already bought one. Well,
you already bought one. Yes. Oh. I'm not making you guys pay for something I'm forcing you into without your knowledge for like the very first element of the story. Yeah, it's fine. You already purchased it. And your business on Nar Shaddaa is concluded. Remy.
Hi.
You have business on Nar Shaddaa. What is it?
I am currently in hiding here.
So it would seem. Where are you in Nar Shaddaa?
At the moment, I'm in a dark, musty pub.
All right. Where are you sitting?
I'm sitting at the counter.
Sitting at the counter, just What are you drinking? Are you drinking anything?
Alcohol of some sort.
Well, I would assume so. Let's let me do a speed read of Wikipedia. Alcohol. See, get really narrow down the specific type of alcohol you're drinking. I don't know. You're drinking Karelian
chocolate
brandy
milk.
Or something. Chocolate milk. Alcoholic. Chocolate spiked. Milk. Spiked chocolate milk.
Oh, that'd be so bad.
It's got a kick.
I would take that any day.
Turtle, though.
Yeah. That actually sounds quite good.
I mean, that's why you take it in shot form.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some shots where it's like the point of it is for it to curdle, but not that I would know.
So, as you sit there, well, it's sort of an odd sight, such a tall creature sitting at a pub counter in the midst of all these smaller, shadier elements. And, you know, you're getting a few stares every now and then. The barkeep slides out from the back room. And, you know, he gives someone their order. And then he turns to you. You know what? Let's make this a she. This is a she, not a he. Why be sexist, you know? Diversity, inclusion. So she looks at you and she says, "What are you drinking for?"
"Well, not much for anything at the moment."
"Just like the kick?"
"I suppose so."
"You're a long way from home."
"One could say so."
"What you doing here?"
"Well, I don't know. What does anyone do?"
Make a knowledge education check.
Okay.
Just an easy. So for you, if I made your character sheet at the same time as you correctly, that should be 3 green and 1 yellow, and then 1 purple.
Okay.
4 success! Nice!
Awesome.
All right, make another check. Make an easy perception check. And for you, that is going to be just 2 green and 1 purple. All right, so you notice that, for the record, this is not a normal thing for me to make you roll 2 things for like one thing, but I decided to combine them because I didn't know, you know, what would be the single check for this. So you notice that there are some aberrations in the physical structure of this person. They don't look right. You can't really explain it. You just know that with your knowledge of biology, this person is not right.
We talking cybernetics?
Who knows? You just know they're not normal for a human.
They just got a really weird face.
You're lucky, dude.
And they're just, you know, they're just, apart from that, completely innocuously just trying to have a chat with you. I believe the last thing you said was, "What is anyone doing?" or something like that.
Right.
"Well, most people come here to drown their sorrows in drink or to try to find their next contract. But you're not doing anything."
"No."
"Where are you headed after this?"
"Not really sure. Home, I suppose, wherever that is."
"Well, good luck with your journeys." And she goes back into the back room. And a little bit later, she comes back out and just starts serving some other people. But doesn't ask you anything else again. And you're just sitting here in this smoky downtown jazz bar doing nothing. Is there anything you do once you finish, once you reach the bottom of this bottle?
Nothing in particular.
When are you going to leave for your ship?
Soon, once I sober up.
Fair. As you sober up, you notice there's a pair meeting in a far corner of the bar. And, you know, unlike everybody else here, they look a little panicked on edge. And you can't make much out about their appearances. They're both wearing cloaks. And there's some credits that are exchanged. And then they rush out of the bar.
I follow them.
Make a stealth check. Good luck with that. To be fair, you do have a fair bit of agility. So that's going to be three green. It's going to be hard, though. So it's going to be opposed by three purple. All right, so that is a failure with three threat. So as you're following them, they notice you. To be fair, I should have given you a setback dice. You are a tall, very, very tall creature. They notice you. They notice you poking up out of the crowd, and they duck down an alleyway. And as you do you rush to pursue them?
Yes.
Or do you? All right. As you do that, you're bumping through this crowd, and you know you're kind of shoved about. So take three strain. It's just the act of pushing through this crowd to turn down this alleyway and getting shoved by everybody. And rushing after these people, it's just, with all that drink in you, just too much. And as you turn down the alleyway, they're gone. I assume you go to get on your ship.
Yeah.
All right. Your business on Nar Shaddaa is concluded. Anna, you have business on Nar Shaddaa.
I do.
What is your business on Nar Shaddaa?
I am here chasing a rumor because there's someone that I'm trying to contact. And this person I'm looking for was one of the last people to be in contact with the person I'm seeking.
Where is this person you're seeking?
They are at a bar.
All right. I assume you enter this bar. Are they aware that they're meeting you here, or are you here chasing a rumor to find them without their knowledge?
Without their knowledge.
All right. Is this person the owner of the bar? Are they just a person that frequents this bar? Is it a dancer at this bar? Like,
No, they're a frequent patron at this bar.
All right. So you enter this bar. What does this person look like?
They are a human.
A human.
With a cybernetic arm and a large scar going through one of their eyes.
Nice. Good look.
Very, very distinct, distinct look.
Do you know anything about their past? Is there anything else I should know about their character? Or am I free to make up everything else?
Go off.
All right. They are lounging in a far corner of this bar. That cybernetic arm is slamming back drinks hard. And there is a dancer, a Twi'lek dancer, that he's got his arm curled around on the booth. And he looks like he's having the time of his life.
He's at a bar. Makes sense. I'm gonna approach him.
He sees you. Well, hello there, little lady. What brings you here?
I have reason to believe that you know someone that I'm looking for.
know someone. Listen, Callow knows a lot of people. A lot of people. Is there someone in particular?
I think you have good enough reason to know, unless the drinks that you've had have sullied your memory a bit.
Would you say you're trying to intimidate him right now?
In a way, I'm trying to...
Or you're just trying to charm him, or...
Yeah, I'd say so. He clearly isn't as defensive as I've heard that he is known to be, okay. Which was why I came to see him at the bar.
So you're trying to intimidate him or charm?
Charm.
All right, so make a charm check. That is going to be an average charm check. So for you, that's going to be, you know, your agility, or not agility, charm, agility? Your presence. Your presence. And the you know, matching ranks and charm. So tell me what you think that is going to be. So your presence is going to be represented by three by green die, and
okay,
green dice, I should say. And your for every rank in charm you have that is matched by a rank in your presence, it becomes a yellow die.
Okay. And you said presence was which? You said that was green?
Yes, presence. So okay. Presence is your green.
So
is green. And
I
then,
have
yeah.
three presence, so three green. And then I have one in charm. So
yep.
Three green, one yellow?
Close. Two green, one yellow. Because the green
right.
becomes a yellow. Yep.
Okay. And then roll.
So that is, wow, they became three threat only. So that is a resounding success.
Heck yeah.
But he catches on that you know more than he thought you knew. He knows, I think he knows what you're trying to get out of him. And he immediately tenses up. And he tenses up and he lets go of the drink and takes his arm from around the dancer and he looks at you and he's like, what are you really here for?
I'd like to discuss who you had contact with yesterday.
What's your name?
What business is of any of yours?
Word gets around. You learn people's aliases. Want to know you're no snitch?
I go by Zashot.
Zashot, eh? Come with me. He gets up, like tosses a few credits at the bar, and surprisingly sober, saunters out into an alleyway just beside the bar. And it's not, he's not like hiding in there. He's very clearly just like waiting
okay.
in there. It's not an ambush.
I was like, okay, I follow him.
I'm just gonna wing it. It feels kind of right. Make a vigilance check. Average. All right. As you get near him, you notice that he's significantly more tense than he was even in the bar. And he lunges towards you right before you realize what's happening. And make an athletics check to dodge with two boost dice, because you got advantage on that roll. Just one boost die, because you failed, but it was two advantage.
Okay.
I don't think any of this is how it's supposed to work, but way I'm doing it.
Okay, so I don't have any ranks in athletics, but that's under brawn, right?
Yes. So for you, that's going to be three green and then a blue and two purple, because it's an average.
Gotcha. I'm getting the hang of this.
Yep. All right. So you dodge out of the way, and his cybernetic arm goes whizzing past your head, and he swings back around to face you.
Who are you? Who do you work for?
I work for no one, but I want to know where the person you met with is heading.
No one works for no one. Everyone works for someone. What do you want?
I want to know where they're headed.
Make...
Is that like intimidation?
Make it... yeah, do you want to try intimidating him?
Yes.
Okay. At the same time, I want you first to make a discipline check to see how much that attack phased you, and to see if he sees if you're faltering from that attack, and then you can make the coercion check. An easy discipline.
Okay.
Ooh, all dice canceled out. All right, and now make your coercion check. Hard. He is not easy to intimidate.
Okay.
But give yourself a boost die because you dodged his attack. All right. He cocks an eyebrow. Little lady. You don't work for anyone, but you can't scare me. So, you want to find the person I met with yesterday. Well, I meet with a lot of people, but I can tell who you're asking for. He left planet. I'm sure that's not surprising. He went further spinward. That's all I can tell you. And just so you know, spinward is a fancy-dancy Star Wars word for meaning with the direction the galaxy spins.
Okay.
Did not know that.
Yeah, they have a bunch of cool words. I like it. They have like core word and spin word and...
So like he's gone with the wind?
You know a general direction he went with.
Oh, okay.
He went now. In fact, is this person you're trying to meet a he or is it a she?
I do not know.
All right. We will leave it up in the air for now.
Well, if that's all the information you have to offer, I say our business here is concluded.
I'd say so as well, Zashot. See you around.
Farewell.
Goes back in the bar. And unless I'm mistaken, with that, your business on Nar Shaddaa is concluded?
Yep.
All right. With their business concluded, the strangers departed Nar Shaddaa, each finding their way off-world.
What?
On the very same ship. No, I know. I know. I know.
Okay.
On the very same ship. The Gibbous.
I'm a Gibbous.
I'm a Gibbous. I'm a Gibbous. I'm a Gibbous.